Greetings, friends. In today's program, we're going to take a look at the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. And I want to do this because I want you to be absolutely sure from the scriptures that there are two resurrections from the dead. The first one is the resurrection from the dead of all of the faithful followers of Yeshua Messiah. And that resurrection from the dead will occur at his second coming. And this resurrection of all of the faithful saints will be to eternal life in spirit-composed bodies. Then we will live and reign with Yeshua the Messiah here on earth for 1,000 years. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles pictures. And the Feast of Tabernacles is the sixth out of God's seven annual holy days. Immediately after the 1,000 years, there will be a second resurrection. And this resurrection, as pictured by the last great day, which immediately follows the Feast of Tabernacles, this second resurrection will be a resurrection to physical life, to temporary life, in a physical body for the majority of people who have ever lived and died up to Christ's second coming. Now, I know that a lot of people feel like that's a second chance theory, and they can't understand that, but the truth of the scriptures, as we're going to see in future programs, is that God has not been trying to save all of the world, every person who has ever lived and died in the world. God has not been trying to save everyone all at this time. There will come a time when God will try to save everyone who has ever lived and died. That will occur during the last great day. God is only at this time trying to save a few people, and these few people are called the first fruits. Now again, I know that that is something that is not taught in traditional Christian churches, and that's because in traditional Christian churches, people have been deceived by Satan the devil into believing such pagan practices like the observance of Christmas and Easter and Halloween and other such nonsensical things are truly scriptural, truly biblical, but they are not. They are pagan traditions. What's scriptural? What is Christian? What's a real Christian tradition? What's been inspired by God for true Christians to follow are God's seven annual holy days. But since Satan the devil, who is the god of this world, who is a deceiver and who has deceived the entire world, since he is the prince of the power of the air and most people are tuned in to his radio program, so to speak, then most people have been deceived because they do not know about God's seven annual holy days. They've been taught that these were things just for the Jews. Well, if you've been following us over the course of the last month about, you should have seen by now that it is obvious that these seven annual holy days are God's seven annual appointments for Christians. God wants for Christians, those who follow Christ by faith. This is a New Testament doctrine that God wants Christians to keep his seven annual appointments because they have great meaning. God wants to teach us things when we get together and meet with him during these seven annual appointments. And now we're talking about what God is trying to teach us during this seventh annual appointment. And what he's trying to teach us is that this is the time, for the first time, that God will step in and begin to try to save the majority of people who have ever lived and died. Obviously, since most people who have ever lived have already died, God will have to resurrect them. And he will resurrect them to physical, temporary existence. They're going to be resurrected into a physical body, which of course a physical body is temporary. But if they follow God by faith and they demonstrate their faith by their works, then God will give them eternal life. And this will be their first chance at eternal life, because before this time, God has kept most people in blindness. God has shut up most people in unbelief so that he can have mercy upon all people. And again, we'll get into this in future programs, because I want to prove everything that I'm saying from the scriptures. But today, let's talk about this doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. To start off, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read verses 12 through 26. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is verses 12 through 26. Starting in verse 12, it says, "If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how come some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" And by the way, it just really blows my mind in the sense that people believe that once an individual dies, they either go to heaven and they're with God, they're alive in heaven, they already have their eternal bodies, or they die and they're alive and they go to hell and they're burning in hell, and they'll burn in hell forever and ever. Both of those are pure fallacies. Again, this is not scriptural. You cannot find a shred of evidence in the Bible that either one of those are true. If it was true that once people died, they were alive, either in heaven or in hell, then what need would there be of the resurrection? And so Paul is talking about this, that some people are saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. And Paul is saying, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Now, dropping down to verse 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep," which means they died, "if they fall asleep in Christ, they're also perished if there is no resurrection. But the truth is that Christ has risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." If Christ is the first fruits, then there have to be other fruits. All right, Christ is the first one resurrected from the dead and given eternal life. Obviously, people have been resurrected from the dead, but they have been given only temporary life again in physical bodies. Christ is the first, and these people died again. Christ is the first one who was resurrected from the dead, given eternal life in a spirit-composed body. In verse 21 it says, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But," now catch this, "but every man in his own order." In other words, there's an order of resurrections. Not everyone is resurrected at the same time. God has a chronological way of doing things. God has a 7-step plan of salvation. Some people, only the few, are resurrected to eternal life at Christ's second coming. Christ, so far, out of all people who have ever lived and died, only Christ, only Christ, only Christ, no other person has ever been resurrected to eternal life. And that occurred 2,000 years ago. Now, in hopefully a few years, there will be a second resurrection, so to speak, to eternal life. But this is going to be called, as you'll see later, the first resurrection, because it's the first resurrection of a large group of people. And this is all the saints in the Old Testament, all the saints in the New Testament that have died in Christ. These people, I hope you and I will be a part of that, will be resurrected to eternal life. And so the Bible calls that the first resurrection, because it's a larger group of people than just Christ, who is one person. All right? And it says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then afterwards, they that are Christ," when? "At his coming." Is it at Christ's first coming? Of course not, because nobody was resurrected to eternal life at Christ's first coming. Because even Christ obviously wasn't resurrected until he died. Then he was resurrected. So obviously, when it says at his coming, it's talking about at his second coming. And again, we'll see that a little bit later. So it says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So catch that also. Everything in God's plan of salvation will be over after there is no more death, which means that before that, when there is still death, there is still something going on in God's plan of salvation. Because salvation can be defined as leading people from death into life through faith in Yeshua, our Messiah. Okay? And so obviously, when the last enemy is destroyed, which is death, then that means everybody will have life. Once everybody has eternal life, then God's plan of salvation, his seven-step plan of salvation, will be over with, because everyone will have been saved. Everyone will have been brought from death into eternal life by faith in Jesus the Christ. So keep this in mind also, because we're going to come back to that point at a later time. Right now, let's drop down to verse 35. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, and this is verse 35. It says, "But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Don't you know that what you sow is not brought to life except it dies first? And that seed that you plant, doesn't it bring back a plant that looks different from the seed? Another thing to consider is that there are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. The glory of the celestial differs from the glory of the terrestrial. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The physical body is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, but is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body." Now catch this. "It is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam, who is Yeshua the Messiah, was made a living spirit." Keep in mind that the physical body comes first, and afterward comes the spiritual body. The first man is of the earth, that's the terrestrial body, and the second man is from heaven, that's the celestial body. "As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption." And so what we see from 1 Corinthians 15 is that everybody that has ever died is still dead, except Jesus the Christ. Everybody that has ever died in Christ will be resurrected at Christ's second coming. And everybody in this resurrection will have spirit-composed eternal bodies. But what about the rest of the dead? That's what we're going to cover in our next program. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. or call us on 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.